Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. Yes. There you go. And all the time, Brother Sidon. There you go. If I could have you turn to Galatians 5, verse 22. I probably should have let the sound know, but I'm not reading from the King James. Yeah, I know. I know. You can... Galatians 5:22. It's familiar to some of you. And we'll be reading through verse 26. So I'll be reading from the Holman Christian Standard Bible, if they have that. But if not, you'll get to hear that version, okay? Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. Now those who belong to Jesus, to Christ Jesus, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, we must also follow the Spirit. We must not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." I want to speak for a couple minutes on the title, "The Ordinary Life of a Plant." And if you'll, before you're seated, Shane, if you'll all pray with me, just that God would have His way and open our hearts and minds. God, Lord, I pray that You would have Your way tonight in this service. God, Lord, use me. Use this message, God. Open every heart and mind here to hear and understand, God, what You have for us tonight. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You can be seated. First off, I know Pastor's gone, but Pastor Saito, Pastor Roy, thank you for the opportunity. I say it every time, but I mean it every time. I do not take this lightly. I take it very seriously to be behind the pulpit and to speak what God has for me, for you. So tonight I want to talk on the title, "The Ordinary Life of a Plant." When I was younger, I was what they called a shammer. How many people know what shamming is? No? I've explained it to some of you. Brother Brown knows, the Army guy. Yes. A shammer is somebody, well, let me explain what I did and then maybe it'll make more sense. So when I was really little, we used to have to vacuum the house twice a day. Yes, you know my mom. Twice a day we'd vacuum the house. And when you have the thick carpet, the vacuum would leave marks in the carpet. And so what I learned how to do was if you took a book that was about the same width as a vacuum and push it along the carpet, right, it would create marks that look like the vacuum ran. That's called running the book. And that is a shammer. When I joined the Army, I went through basic training, and my goal was to not be noticed. That's what they tell you. And that did not go very well for someone with a smart mouth. And so I went to AIT, Advanced Individual Training, which happens right after basic training. And this, they're a little bit more lax. The drill sergeants aren't really hard on you. And so the first month and a half, we didn't have a team that we were going to go to class with. And so you'd wake up every morning and they'd see you and they're like, "We don't know who you are. You go run with them. You do exercise with them." And I figured out right away there was a hole. There was a flaw in their idea that we were all going to exercise, because I didn't have a spot to be. And if I would wake up and crawl under my bunk and lay back in the corner. Yeah, it's worse. And lay back in the corner. They would walk by the room, not see anybody, and I wasn't in any group yet, so I was just in the transitionary group, and I could get out of running. Once again, now you're starting to know what shamming is. Shamming is working very, very hard to get out of work, almost too hard, as it were. And I carried this trait on as I grew up, and I started finding out that it really doesn't work. It works in some things you're probably not proud of, but it really doesn't work. And let me ask you this, and you don't have to raise your hands or anything, but how many people, and we'll go back to the shamming, but how many people, how many people, it's like, I want to be better, right? I want to have that, you see people walking on the street, you're like, wow, man, they not walking on the street, you see people, and you're just, wow, they got a love for God. Man, I want that love for God. Boy, look at how peaceful they are. Look at how they're just calm. Nothing phases them. I have to write the scripture verse on my computer that says, be be slow to speak, right? Quick to listen, slow to become. I have to write that down so I remember it. Like that wasn't natural for me, you know. And so I had this as I grew up. I was thinking, man, this is it. These are what I want in my life. We read Galatians 5:22, the fruits of the Spirit, right? I want to have that. It's not natural for me, Brother Seidel. I'm just, if you need to take the mic back, you can. But these things aren't natural for me, right? To show love and to be gentle and to have self-control, patience. Yeah, it's not natural for me. So I said, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to be gentle. Be kind. I'm just going to do it. And that did not work for me either. And I started looking at other people. I'm like, well, look at Brother Tim. Man, this guy, he's just so calm and easy. I want to be like Brother Tim. That didn't work for me either. I was reading in John 21:15. And for those of you keeping the timer, I'll be longer than Phil, but less than Brother Cox, somewhere in there. So more than 5 minutes. He was asking me how long it was going to be. John 21. Let's go to John 21. Verse 15. And once again, I'm reading from a slightly different version, but here we go. John 21, verse 15. Some of this is familiar to you because you've heard the story where Jesus and the disciples are sitting there and he says to Peter, do you love me more than these? Right? And it's a really, really like personal moment for Jesus and Peter. He says, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said to him, you know that I love you. Feed my lambs, he told him. This is going to sound familiar to some of you. A second time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, he said to him, you know that I love you. Shepherd my sheep, Jesus told him. He asked him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? This is where Peter starts to get a little frustrated. He says, Peter was grieved that he had asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Feed my sheep, Jesus said. I assure you, when you were young, you would tie your belt and walk wherever you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will tie you and carry you where you don't want to go. He did this to tell Peter that, hey, when you're serving me and you're going to die for me and you're going to die on a cross. After this, he told him, follow me. So Peter turned around. Now let's just set the stage here. Here Jesus and Peter have this just really close conversation, right? Some of you men remember this. I brought this up in one of our breakouts. They have this really close conversation, almost intimate. It's just like, wow, God is just having a close conversation with Peter. And what is Peter's natural reaction after that? Well, obviously he would say, oh God, this was just awesome. I'm so happy that I was in your presence and I learned. No, that's not how it went. So Peter turned around and saw the disciple Jesus loved following them, John. That disciple was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and asked, Lord, who's the one that's going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he's talking about John, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about him? And Jesus said, if I want him to remain until I come, Jesus answered, what is that to you? As for you, follow me. So this report spread to all the brothers that this disciple, John, would not die. Yet Jesus did not tell him that he would not die. If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? This really struck me. You know, I'm admitting it. Like, you look at people and you're like, that's a trait I want. I want to be able to dance like an astronaut. Right? I want to have these traits in my life. I want to have these fruits in my life. And I look at people, I'm like, if I could just do what Brother Seidel's doing. Brother Seidel, what are you doing? Could we talk? Could I have breakfast with you? What are the things? Well, you wake up and you exercise. You do all these. Okay, well, maybe if I do what he's doing, I'll have the fruits in my life. But Jesus is telling Peter, don't focus on the other guy. Who cares about the other guy? It's a similar story if we go to Luke 10. Luke 10, verse 38. This one's going to sound familiar to you too. 10:38 is the story of Mary and Martha. And while they were traveling, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. And she came up and asked, Lord, don't you care? Don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So tell her to give me a hand. Is that what he did? No. The Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken away from her. This hit me hard because I really like to try. I like to try to do things. I want to get the fruit. And here I am, this is my terminology, trying to make fruit in Tupperware containers. No, it's true. I want the fruit, but I don't want the process. Can I do it some other? Can I just try a little harder? Can I read a self-help? I've done that. Self-help books are good. Sometimes I'm more confused afterwards. I've gone through trainings. You know, you go through all this stuff. And all this, I'm trying to limit. What do I got to do to get this fruit? I want the love. I want the gentleness and the goodness and the faith and the meekness and the temperance. I want these things in my life. For me, it was like, I want to be more understanding. You know, I got married. Then the things I wanted were a little bit different. I'm like, well, I need to learn to be understanding. I need to learn to be patient. I need to be accepting. I got to be forgiving. And I also have to be less angry, less quick to react, right? And so here my wife and I are. We're having this conversation. And we're like, why is it so hard to just get these fruits in our lives, in our marriage? And it just, for us, it's like, because we're focusing on the wrong thing. We're focusing on the fruit. That's a great verse, you know. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering. You know? I'm focusing on the fruit. I'm missing the process. So what does growing fruit in a Tupperware container look like, I guess, for me? That's a question I like to ask myself here, work, anything, my marriage. What does this look like? Well, it's focusing on the end result instead of how the fruit is actually grown. The Bible says, can a man add a cubit to his stature? So can I actually do something that adds a cubit to my stature? Can I be taller just by thinking really hard? Probably not. Right? See, wanting the traits and wanting the good fruits in our life, that's not a horrible thing. I think that's a really good thing. The Bible says we should want the fruits in our lives, right? We should want these things. But it also doesn't say they're just going to happen naturally. It doesn't just say, hey, guess what? You're living for God now. Boom. Get the fruit of the Spirit. Hallelujah. You're coming to church 3 times a week. Fruit of the Spirit. You do your bread program every day. Fruit of the Spirit. It's not saying that. It's more than just these actions, these trying harder, these things we do. But instead, God kind of took me down a path where he put a bunch of, I don't know, I'll say him. I think he did it because he was teaching me a lesson. But he allowed some bad fruit to come into my life. Some bad habits, some bad traits. When I was younger, I was very orderly, very strict, very, this is the rules, follow the rules. You know, the military was perfect for me to start out. Then I went to college, and I did very poorly my first couple semesters. In fact, I flunked out of college. I don't know if you guys know that. Probably not, right? Yeah, it's not something I'm proud of. I flunked out of college. Got a bunch of D's and F's. Those are bad grades, kids. D's and F's are bad. C's are okay. D's and F's are bad. Got a bunch of D's and F's, and I failed out of college. At the same time, my credit score plummeted to below 400 points. A lot to be proud of at that stage in my life. There was a lot going on. Those fruits are really evident. And I believed the worst about myself. I believe that, well, these just aren't for me. I can't get them. Those are for other people. Those are for Brother Thomas and Brother Grant. You know, these fruits are for other people. I can't do it. And that's when God said, yeah, you're right. You can't do it. The fruits are not theirs for you to just say, peach. Try really hard, banana. God's like, quit growing your fruit in a plastic jar, because all you're doing is growing something that looks like a fruit, but there's no substance to it. And when you need it, when you need the love and the patience and the meekness and the understanding in your life, and you're going through the pit of wherever you're going through, that fruit in that jar is not going to do anything for you. It actually will do the opposite. Just because it looks like a fruit doesn't make it a fruit. So I started really going to God. I'm like, okay, God, obviously my way is not working. Okay, I'm willing to admit that. I had to face some denials there. I thought for sure the Bible was wrong. It was not. So I started saying, I said, God, what is it? Where do I get the fruit? Where do I get the fruit that I want to see in my life? And I keep saying the fruit. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. But really, it's just, where do I get the good things? I want to be disciplined, Brother Sal. Discipline isn't a fruit of the Spirit, but I want to be disciplined. I want to just love God's Word. I want to just, when I'm not praying or I've missed a couple days, I want to think, man, I've missed my prayer. Like, I've missed it. Like, I've missed talking to God, and I feel apart from Him because I haven't. Because I haven't talked. Those are kind of the fruits that I want to see in my life. And so I was reading a couple verses, and I'll read a couple here first. John 15:1-8. John 15:1-8 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vineyard keeper. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, He removes. And He prunes every branch that produces fruit, so it will produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself. So He even said it. We can't produce fruit in Tupperware containers. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself, unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. Then He just says it really simple. I'm the vine, and you are the branches. So He says all this, and we're wondering, what's going on? He said, I'm the vine, and you are the branches. When you are connected to me, you will bear fruit. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit. Do you think the vine knows how much fruit it's going to produce? Do you think the vine knows, or just the plant? Let's go to the plant here. We'll get a little generic with our conversations here. Do you think the plant knows which fruit it's going to produce? God decides which the plants produce. And He decides how much they produce. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch and he withers. The definition of withers in the Peter paraphrase is flunking out of college and in debt up to your eyeballs. They gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want. Whatever you want, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. So He's saying, God is glorified when you produce fruit, but don't try producing fruit. He's kind of taking the stress away, isn't He? Like, God is glorified when you produce fruit, but don't try producing fruit. He says, instead, remain in me, and I will produce the fruit. I can't produce it by myself. My wife and I, every year, I don't know if you guys know this, but every year Amy and Kristen, every year the 2- and 3-year-old class, they give out these little styrofoam cups with, looks like that, in it right there, with a tiny little green leaf in the styrofoam cup. And man, I hate that thing. But my daughters love it. They thought it's the coolest thing. So they give it to the children in the class who are supposed to take it back to their mothers for Mother's Day. Something else for the mom to take care of. And was that sarcastic? No. So we take this little leaf in the styrofoam cup. And I'm telling you, my daughters think this is the coolest thing in the world. So it is a compliment. You ladies do an awesome job. They take this little leaf in the styrofoam cup. And they say, okay, just this is what it is. It's a little flower for Mother's Day, and the kids are going to learn to plant this flower. Now, I'm going to warn you, I have zero thumbs that are green. right? We tried to do a garden one year, and everything except for the habanero peppers died. The one thing we didn't eat. Everything else died. We were horrible with plants. So my wife and I, we let this little thing grow in the cup for a couple weeks. Just a tiny little leaf. And it's not doing anything. Put a little water in it. It doesn't do anything. It sits on the counter, in the window, with a little sunlight, doing nothing. It is a little green leaf about this tall. Well, eventually we said, we've got to put this thing outside. Right? Mother's Day is May, June, somewhere in there, right? And so we said, well, it's starting to be spring. Let's put the little leaf outside. So we have this little rock area outside our front door. And the rocks are like this big. So one of these rocks would crush this leaf on accident. And so we peel back some of the rocks. And literally, it doesn't take work. You just scoop it out with your hand, drop it in there, take out the cup, and then push some of the dirt back and leave the rocks to the side. The rocks will crush it. Okay? And we just let it sit there. And then you go about your business. You know, it rains some days, the sun's shining some days, it's gray skies, it's cloudy. It's just weather. It's Wisconsin, right? We have our season. And we go about our business. And then come a month later, it's like, whoa, that leaf's a little bit taller. It's like this big now. That's pretty cool. We got a leaf that's two leaves. We have two leaves. We have succeeded. Pull it out quick before it dies. Yeah. We literally have no idea how to care for this thing. So we literally planted one leaf in the ground and did nothing to it. Nothing. Unless there was Miracle-Gro in there, ladies. Don't tell me about that. That'll ruin the message. So we planted this thing out. Time goes by. Guess what happens to this thing? It got huge. Not bigger. Huge. It had a stalk this big around. I am not joking. The size of like the handle of a baseball bat. Like this big around. It had flower heads on it. This is a sunflower, mind you. The size of dinner plates. Not one, not two, Shane, not three, not four, not five, but six dinner plates on this flower. All you LeBron James fans got that. Six dinner plates, the flowers on this thing. A stalk this big, and what did we do to make that fruit? Nothing. We just planted it in the ground. We just planted it in the ground. In fact, we got so annoyed by this flower because we thought it's just a leaf, it's going to die. No one. We planted it like ugly right in the middle. If you drive by, you see this thing. There's this one giant sunflower sticking up out of our rocks. And it's just like, what in the world? Why is this here? We are stupid. And there it was. And one night my wife and I were sitting on a couch. And my wife and I got to just stop here and say this. We all get up here, men, and you're supposed to say something nice to your wife, right? That's the thing. They tell you that. No, I'm just kidding. But really you are. I want people to know I have an amazing wife. She is the best mom and wife that I've ever had. And she knows that. She knows that. But something that God has really blessed us with is in our marriage, it started, you know, with every marriage, started a little bumpy. You learn some things as you go. And God has really opened up the ability for us to just really talk and have really close conversations and talk about what God's working in our lives, what we're doing, what our fears are. And you know what that allows us to do? It allows us to shed some light on each other's lives. Because you can see sometimes the lies in other people's lives that they're not seeing. And so my wife was sitting on the couch one day, and she had had a rough day. And I told her I was going to say this. She might be watching on Facebook Live. Our daughters are sick. But she was having a rough day. She was just like, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. You know, I'm not getting the, and I don't think she said the word fruit. She's like, why can't I just do this? Why can't I just want this fruit right here? And I said, Casey, quit trying for the fruit. Quit trying for this one fruit you want to see in your life. Or quit trying for this one fruit you want to see in our children's lives. Or quit trying for this one fruit you want to see in my life. We just need to plant ourselves in God's word. And she got really honest with me. She's like, but sometimes I don't feel like it's working. I said, yeah, that's okay. And I said, you know what? And God just, boom. I said, you know that stupid sunflower in the front yard? I said it was just a leaf at one point. It started out as just a leaf. It was just a leaf. And what do? We just planted it. And so I start thinking, if I'm a sunflower and I'm a leaf, what am I doing? Nothing. The only thing that thing had to do was stay in the cup. Stay in the cup. Until the master put it in the ground where he wanted it to go. He did not think that through. Where he put it in the ground. And what did it have to do once it got into the ground? Nothing. Now, I'm going to get all these emails, Brother Saul. I'm not saying that we should all go home and do nothing. So put that in the notes. No one should go home and do nothing. But we're supposed to remain in him and abide in him. And I might be stretching here, but just engage in the soil. Just engage in God's word. And that's when God talked to us. He showed us Psalms 1, verses 1 through 3. This is a familiar verse. It says, how happy is the man who does not follow the advice of the wicked? So you're not paying attention to everybody else. Well, this so-and-so and this so-and-so are doing things. How happy is the man who does not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path of sinners, or join a group of mockers? Instead, his delight is in the law, Lord's instructions. And he meditates on it day and night. Now, I'm going to add a couple words, but it says, and when he does this, he is like a what? Tree planted by the streams of water that bears fruit when? In his season. And his leaf does not what? Wither. Wow. So I'm supposed to not follow other people, not follow the world, not try super hard on my own, but just delight in the Lord's instruction and meditate on it day and night. And I will be like a tree planted by streams of water that bears fruit when? In its season. See, but that's a whole nother problem. I want this fruit and I want it now. I need to have this fruit now. I need to have this trait in my life now. I want to be so close to God now. And God's saying, stay in the cup. Stay in the cup. Plant yourself in me. Plant yourself in my word. But what about my failures? You know, you don't know where I've been. You don't know where I've been, Brother Sandin. You don't know my past. God doesn't care. You're in the cup now. You're in the styrofoam cup now. Well, no, it's been pretty bad. Just yesterday it was pretty bad. God doesn't care about that. He says, are you in the cup? Are you in the cup? He doesn't care where you started out. And he doesn't care where you think you need to go. God cares where you're planted. Because where you're planted is where he can do something. He can do something when you're in the right soil and in the right sunlight and in the right atmosphere. He can do something with that. But, you know, it's difficult. The cup is really small, or the rocks are really big, but where I'm at's really hard. Well, Romans 5, 3 through 4 says, and not only that, but we also rejoice in our afflictions. Because we know that affliction produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Ah, so I can just sit in the grass. And these troubles and trials that I'm going through, God's going to use these. It wasn't a mistake that I went through what I went through. And that's why I'm not afraid to bring it up now. Because God had to take me through what he took me through to bring me out the other side. And because of that now, I can help other people with that. The very failures that I'm worried about, that I was worried about, was the very thing that started to bring fruit in my life. The lies in my life, those were the things that started to bring fruit in my life. Not the lies, but starting to face them. So the second half of the sunflower story. It's giant sunflower, right? The next year, we get another one. Now, you got to know that at the end of the year, this flower was dead. Okay? It was dead. It's, you know, we just left it for the winter. We didn't do anything. It died for the winter, right? And we're just like, okay, I'm just going to go get it. So I go out there and I'm just like, This is not coming out of the ground. So I, still not coming out of the ground. I moved the rocks. The root ball on that thing was like a foot and a half wide. From a tiny little leaf, the root ball was a foot and a half wide. I pulled that thing out, and there is still a hole in my rocks where the rocks dent down a little bit. And we said, finally, we are done with the sunflower. And I think it was a couple days later we got the next one. And but, you know, Evelyn got to see Sophie's sunflower grow so big, so she wanted to grow a big sunflower. Well, now we know how to do it. We're masters now. We figured this out. So we moved the, we left it in the cup for 2 weeks. We moved the rocks back. We put the little leaf in the ground. Boom, we had a sunflower. But there was something we weren't expecting. In our little rock garden, we planted the flower here, let's say, and right behind it we have a wood barrel, okay? It's a wood barrel with a plastic liner in it. And inside that plastic liner is nothing but dirt. And all of a sudden, this little green leaf came out of this plastic barrel. I'm like, what did we plant in there? We succeeded with something. Like, we thought we were, I think she planted some tulips or something in there. She's like, we're going to have tulips in the plastic barrel. There was rotten water underneath the barrel. Nothing was going to grow in here, okay? A little leaf came out of that plastic barrel. And that leaf proceeded to grow 4 feet tall and have five giant heads and be another sunflower. And that's not the one we planted for Evelyn. That's the one that when that first one had died, guess what it had done? It had dropped seeds. And it grew another one. And it's like God's just sitting there saying, first off, Peter, you're horrible with plants. And second off, that's great because I can work with that. So my prayer started to be, okay, God, I want to be closer to you. I want to abide in you. The Bible says, if you remain in me, keep my commandments. If you want to know me, it says to know me. If you say you know me or you want to know me, keep my commandments. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Learn of me. It says, taste and see that I am good. Colossians 2, 6 through 10 says, therefore, as ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, overflowing with gratitude. Be careful that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit based on human traditions, based on the elemental forces of the world and not based on Christ. Human traditions based on what you think you need to do and not based on Christ. For the entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Christ, and you have been filled by him. Wait, so the entire nature of God is in me? Has been filled by him who is the head over every ruler and authority. In this verse, the word filled means complete. You have everything you need in the cup. You have everything you need in the styrofoam cup. Everything you need. If the musicians could come, God doesn't care what you look like, how your life looks, how things are going perfectly or not. He doesn't care if you're better or worse than your neighbor. Or if your leaf is maybe a little bit taller than your neighbor's, or your sunflower has an extra head on it, or you're planted in a better spot. God cares about where you are planted. He cares about, is he feeding you, or are you feeding yourself? Are you trying to create the fruit, or are you letting him create the fruit in your life? Sometimes I think we think, well, I want to be a peach tree. And God says, but you're a banana tree. Well, I'm a sunflower. And God says, no, you're a daffodil. But the moment we stop trying to be what we want to do and just say, God, I'm going to be planted in you. So at what point, this is what you should ask me, at what point did we start to get a flower? I have no idea. So let's ask the same question. Peter, at what point did you start to see the fruit in your life? I have no idea. I'm really sorry. I didn't have a burning bush moment. I didn't have a Paul on the road to Damascus. This is you. I just say, you know what? I'm going to plant myself in God's word. I'm going to sit here. And I'm not just, and I made a joke at the beginning, but I want to be serious about this. Not just reading my Bible every day. I'm going to connect with God. I'm going to read from His Word and learn from His Word. I'm going to meditate on it. Pastor Roy's been going on that. It's so cool. I'm going to meditate on God's Word and let it impact my life. Maybe I only read 8 verses today, but God spoke to me through His Word. I'm planted in His Word because I'm reading His Word today. So where's the moment of fruit? I don't know. But if you'll plant yourself in God's Word, it'll come. Sister Oliver's actually here tonight, so I have to give her the credit. A long time ago, Sister Oliver, you probably remember it. I was going through something. And I had a job offer in California for a really great company. And I'm very fortunate. I have a great company I work with now. And this was a great company. And I was thinking about taking it. And I went to Brother Thomas. I'm like, well, I don't know what to do. You know, it's a good company. And, you know, they offer you money and all this stuff. I was just like, okay, this is... And I had no idea. And I was going through some rough spots in my life. I'd just gotten out of college, just getting out of college. So, and I went to Sister Oliver to say hi. And as usual, she said something completely different and said, Peter, grow where you're planted. Well, that's not cool, Sister Oliver. I want to go to California. Sunshine State, one season all year long, 87 degrees. She said, grow where you're planted. So, here I was, staying in my styrofoam cup. And maybe my cup's a little bit bigger now, I don't know. But you know what? I don't care. I don't care if I'm in the styrofoam cup, or if I'm in the orange pot, or if I'm in the rocks in the front yard. I just want to be in God. I want to be planted in God. I want to be getting something from His Word. Not just reading it, not just going through my prayer words every day. I want to be having a real conversation with God. And I just had a surgery a week and a half ago, and I missed like 3 or 4 days of prayer because I'm like half asleep and drugged up. And I got done, and I called my buddy. I'm like, man, I can feel it. I need to be talking to God. And then it hit me. God's like, see, there it is. That's one of those fruits you wanted. And you didn't even know you had it. It's like, oh, man. If you could stand with me. See, God has a will, a plan for your life. But I'm going to warn you, it might just be ordinary. It might feel ordinary. It might feel like you're in a cup. It might feel like a styrofoam cup, and it might seem like things aren't moving. But we have to stay planted in Him. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless your family. But we have to stay planted in Him. He wants to produce fruit in your life. Good fruit, good things for you, but we have to be planted in Him. So tonight, come to God. Chair, seat, this front area. I challenge you to have an honest relationship with God. Honest conversation with God. Tell Him where you're at. Tell Him what you want, and then give it to Him. Tell Him. Ask Him, ask yourself, am I happy to be in the cup? Am I happy in the dirt? Am I comparing myself to other people? Am I trying hard to create fruit in a Tupperware container? Where am I finding my value? Where am I defining who I am? Because if it's not in the cup, if it's not in God's Word, if it's not in a real relationship with God where He's speaking to you every day, it's not real. And it's not going to last. This altar's open. God has something for you. He has awesome fruits for you. He has awesome fruits for your life. Awesome fruits for your family. Just get in the cup. It's going to feel ordinary. It's not going to seem really cool. It's just going to be like I'm sitting in the cup doing nothing. But that's where He wants you. In the cup. I just want to
move your heart, God, to give you all I am. And I just want to bless.